World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, so you know the way I am. I got a bone to pick already here this morning. I'm in somewhere near Boston. I mean, near Boston. I don't even know what that means. And here we are on our way in. We left about, I don't know, we left an hour ago to get to the airport because I got to fly out. Now, look, I want to know something. Where are the police officers giving these people tickets for going so slow? Where are they? These people are going slow and we want to go fast. But no tickets for that, are they? Huh? Say, Coach, what are you talking about? Well, I'm just telling you. When I'm on the freeway and there isn't anybody, our car's on the freeway, why can't I go at 80? Why can't I go 90? Why is it? Because it's a money-making problem. Anyway, take a deep breath here. We, Brett, thank God for Ohio Brett and all he's doing. I was part of an event here in outside of Boston. Sorry, I got my glasses on. I'm in the car. I can't really see all y'all with me. So just bear with me. Jerry Foley and a group called, Gideon's Army. They're great folks, man. They're great folks, and they've been having a 4-day little like Coach Dave Live event that we do at Sky High. That's what they're doing. And so I was Brett's always opening up doors for me, and I was able to go out and actually got a chance to speak to them a couple different times. And as my wife would always say, "Honey, how did they receive it?" And I would say, "Well, I don't know if they heard it, but they felt it. They felt it." We need that. We need that raw emotion so people feel it, that locker room talk that, come on, we can do it. Let's go. We can do it. And that's what I do. We used to talk about blowing air up other people's hind ends. That's not what I do. I'm not blowing hot air up their hind end. I'm encouraging them to live out the gift that God's given them. Come out from that dead church that you're in and get involved. And we took some of them yesterday for a honking wave. What town was it?
Plymouth.
I don't know. Plymouth. I think I'm at Plymouth. And they had never done that, friends. They had never. Look, it's like this. For those of you who are tuning in right now, and something just popped up on my phone. What that thing say? Hang on. Not now. So it's like this. You guys, you old guys out there, you remember your first kiss? JR, you ever have a first kiss? You remember your first kiss? You guys, did Randy Lunsford have a first kiss? I wonder. Hey, Mel Harrison, did you have a first kiss? Anybody out there ever have one? And see, so yesterday, when we went to the honking wave on the street, some of them got their first kiss. They had a feeling that they had never had before. We stood out there with signs, very non-offensive signs. Honk if you love Jesus. We love America. Just very, very generic in this bastion of liberalism out here in Massachusetts. And they honk and honk and honk and honk. And it's very, very encouraging for people to get their first kiss. See, here's one of the problems that we make. We ask, and I'm talking to pastors now, right? We want pastors to get out in the streets and take their people with them. And can somebody follow my logic here? Why won't the pastors do it? I'm going to wait for somebody to tell me, why won't the pastors do it? Come on. Why won't they do it?
Afraid of losing their congregation.
No, they've never had a kiss.
They never did it
before. They've never had a kiss. They don't understand that feeling of getting out there and people actually standing up for Jesus. Now, friends, we're talking about people, God-fearing, God-loving people who are sick of what's going on in America. And for the first time in their life, they went out on, I'm not making this up, am I, Brett?
No, not at all.
For the first time in their life, they went and stood on the sidewalk and held a sign that says, honk if you love Jesus. And people honked. And it encouraged them, see? So we start with the first kiss. Now, we're going to move into lovemaking later on. We're going to get into the real essence of what, you know what I'm talking about, right? So it was so powerful yesterday to see how encouraged those people were to actually get a kiss, right? And that's what we have to be cognizant of this. We have pastors who have never had a kiss. They've never had a kiss, meaning what? They've never done anything like it. They never have. And so what? They can't go out and teach you how to get a kiss. They ain't never had one. They don't know that feeling. That's a good analogy, huh, Brad?
Good.
Huh? And so that's what we're dealing with. So yesterday, we went out, and they all got a big old smooch, a big lips on their cheek where they got kissed. And then once we get them to do that, then we take this a little deeper step. Say what? Oh, yeah. Then instead of going out on the street and honking the horn and Jesus loves you and honking and waving and everybody feeling good, the next time they say, hey, coach, what else can we do? I want another kiss. I say, okay, good. Here we go. We're going to go outside the public library. And this time you may not get a kiss. But we're going to go to the public library, and we're going to do the same thing about them cutting off the dingers of little boys and girls. All right? Now, you're going to be making love, but it ain't going to feel like making love. You understand? So we have to gradually get people involved. That's why I love all of you out there, Coach Dave Lives, J.R. Harrison, and Randy Lunsford. And I see once you start down the list, names, Dave Allison and Chad. On and on and on, Bobby. But what? Because they moved beyond the first kiss into, dare I say it, making love. Where there's the ups and the downs and the pushbacks. And I'm not trying to be graphic. You're adults. You know what I'm talking about here, right? And so Chad Estes came up with this with the phrase, we pick up where the church leaves off. And all those people from Gideon, there was a couple there. Here, we're still there. They drove 5 days from Arizona. Do you hear me? 5 days from Arizona. And yesterday, they were on the street in, where were we?
Plymouth,
Massachusetts, holding signs on a honking wave. Now, those of us who've been involved know that ain't nothing, man. That's just a smooch on the cheek. But dudes, they're in the game. They're in the game. And that's what we try to do here at Coach Dave Live, is not have all of you play on my team, but get you in your game right where you are. Encourage you to get involved. Encourage you to make a difference. Look at Randy Lunsford. Randy Lunsford, he never had a kiss. Now, he always wanted to have a kiss, but he finally had that first kiss. And now look at him. Look at J.R. Harrison. He always wanted to have a kiss, but he never did. He finally got a kiss, and he said, I'm going to go get some more kisses. And look what's happened. So we launch birth ministries here. Because why? Oh, liking leads to loving, and loving leads to what? Reproduction, right? So what we try to do here at Coach Dave Live is reproduction of what we do. Huh? Yeah. Different places. Texas, Michigan, Ohio, West Virginia. What? Little reproductions, and we call them brigades. And what are brigades? They're just guys out getting kisses. They got kissed once, and they want to get kissed again. And for the first time in their life, their faith has become personal and public at the same time. Am I making sense out there? I can't see if anybody's got their hands up. But I'm just telling you, I'm overwhelmed with what was planted last night. Just overwhelmed with it. Because Scripture tells us, I don't know exactly where it is, where there is no vision, the people perish, right? So if you've never had a kiss, and then you get one, what do you want more of?
Kisses.
You want more kisses, right? That's the process that we try to take people through. And a lot of what I do, I love. A lot of what I do, I hate. Sitting in traffic, getting on an airplane, sitting beside somebody that's, you know, I get it, right? But it's all part of it, man. It's all part of it. And so I'm going to kind of hand off here to JR. I'll kind of hang in and ride with him. Folks, look, man, if you're watching, if you're part of this queue right now, you've been marked, baby. You've been marked. That's the mark of Ezekiel. Maybe I'll go there with him, Brett, about the, huh? That's the mark you want to have, the mark of Ezekiel. That's in Ezekiel 9, and I'm not going to try to dig in there now, but where the Lord tells the reaper to go around and mark the foreheads. See, we worry about the mark of the beast. I want the mark of Ezekiel. And the mark of Ezekiel, God, Lord speaks to the prophet. He says, go and mark an X on the foreheads of those who cry and sigh for the condition of the country. I'm after the mark of Ezekiel. I'm not worried. Hey, look, folks, I'm not worried about that mark of the beast. I ain't taking that thing. I ain't taking that thing. But I want that mark of Ezekiel. I want to be marked as one of those who cried and sighed over the condition of the country. And I have to tell you something. It's closed doors for me, and it's open doors for me. And I don't care if it opened doors, because I'm 71 years old. It ain't about that. But at 71 years old, I begin to think about leaving a legacy. What goes on after I'm gone, right? The mark of Ezekiel. Do you have that mark? Is that mark on your forehead? Do you cry and sigh? You get up in the morning and you are motivated by, consumed by, we got to do something. We got to do something. Folks, that is the mark of Ezekiel. And I would ask all of you, just think about deeply how that impacts your life. I'll let JR come in here. And he talked about getting the righteous bug. No, it ain't the righteous bug. He got the mark of Ezekiel. And he can't walk out from a... Randy Lunsford's got that freaking mark of Ezekiel. Jeff Klein's got that mark of Ezekiel. Craig Mickle's got that mark of Ezekiel. They can't walk away from it. With me. There's something very, very deep going on in America. Something really, folks, I'm just telling you, there is an underground rumbling going on. We are sitting on top of a boiling volcano. And when this thing erupts, none of us know what the impact of that's going. But I'm telling you, the eruption is coming for sure.
Boom.
So I want to encourage you to this, and then I'll kind of, I know JR's worked to get some stuff ready here, so I don't want to step on what he's trying to do. Hey, folks, it's going to be our finest hour. There are people everywhere looking to do what Chad Estes says, pick up where the church left off. People are sick of mundane, do nothing, sit in the pew Christianity. They're sick of it. Sitting around, pleading, waiting for to be evacuated when there's so much work to be done right here. Jesus himself said, work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. Huh? Does that mean death? I don't know. What does that mean? Does that mean another pandemic? And so we have to understand that, man, it's that dash, it's that time between November 26, 1952 and dash, whatever time when I cross over, right? What have you done with that dash? And so I want to do the best I can to encourage you to stand up and fight no matter where you are, and that there are people around you who want to make a difference. We have to reach out and find them. So I'm going to get off. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to turn it over to JR and appreciate what, look, there's a lot of great stuff going on, man. It's a lot of, that's what separates the wheat from the chaff where I'm going to go in a tongue. Go ahead, JR. Thanks for sitting in.
Sharon, for the record, I've never kissed Coach.
Just let's just make that sure, okay? But I have been on his travel team, and it is an incredible experience. He's had me in several states that I never planned on visiting, several events that I didn't plan on going to. Look, folks, there are a lot of quote-unquote problems out there, but every one of those problems is an opportunity. And if you don't know what to do, look again, because there's you could plug yourself in. You got that image? You can plug yourself in anywhere. And that's what I like to do is coach. I very much appreciate the huddle. Very much appreciate it. Did you get that plug in the image, Spencer? No, I just sent it. It was an additional send. But what I like to do is to plug people in. Talk about what, by trade, I'm an executive recruiter. There you go. By trade, I'm an executive recruiter. And what I used to do is find a place for people to go to work. And I still have that in my heart. And when I whether it be for the Natural Family Foundation, which I head up, or whether it be an event that Coach is doing or Randy's doing, if I talk to somebody, be careful, because I'm going to put you to work. That's what I do. Thanks, Spencer. I want to talk a little bit about, I don't know how many of you watched for the past few weeks the Republican convention and what's going on. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But before I do that, what happened Saturday to the president, what almost happened Saturday to the president? Spencer, play number one, if you would. I want you to get this out of your system before we go any further, okay? Just get this out of your system. Go ahead, please.
More, we want to go to Aisha. Donald Trump took the stage. For more, we want to go to Aisha because there was a briefing today. You got some information about what happened, Aisha?
Dana, good afternoon to you. We just got a big information dump, and some of it is deeply, deeply troubling. So I'm going to hold your hand and walk you through this. Just bear with me here. A lot of notes that I'm going to look at here. Just about a couple minutes ago, these senators came out of this briefing with Secret Service. They've been asking for it for days now, finally got it with the director and Secret Service staff. And the top headline that has come out of it, according to Senator John Barrasso, just spoke to him as soon as he hung up on this briefing. He said that apparently, the Secret Service had identified as a character of suspicion this man, this shooter, because they saw a rangefinder on him as well as a backpack. And this all happened more than an hour before the shooting actually occurred. So they saw the guy and they identified this guy as suspicious. Now, more details coming from a source familiar here who was also in the meeting tells me that about 10 minutes before former President Trump went onto the stage, they had gone from looking at this guy as suspicious to now looking at him as a threat. That is coming from this briefing that the senators were in. They were told that Secret Service had called it in to a center that this guy, they now identified as a threat about 10 minutes before President Trump walked on stage, and they still allowed him to walk onto that stage. I'm told the Secret Service agent in charge there was on the phone with local and state police about the threat while the shooting was taking place. That's huge, and that is raising a...
Thanks, Spencer. Folks, I like to call this the big I or your O. Here's some headlines. New evidence points to complicity of Secret Service and, oops, hang on a second. I bet I know what I didn't do. Okay, you unmuted me. Thanks, Spencer. Thanks. New evidence points to complicity of Secret Service and Trump's attempted assassination. More anomalies surface about shooting. Inside job. Is Crooks a patsy? Parents of would-be Trump assassin called police hours before rally. Tree was in the way. That's why they didn't see him. Mayorkas is blocking Secret Service director from testifying. I want you to ask yourself a question. conspiracy theories aside, is this just plain incompetence or a conspiracy to kill an ex-president? Remember 9/11, failure to communicate? Federal agencies, state agencies, local agencies, they knew it was going to happen, but they just didn't get it communicated. When I hear all the data, all the headlines, I see all the headlines, I can't help think about a term we use in the service. It's called good enough for government work. Is that what we're really talking about? I think it is. And especially in an era of DEI and equality. Folks, I think we give way too much credit to the government, Big Brother, the Illuminati, whatever. Way too much credit. And I think about Coach yesterday when he's talking about Gideon's army. And about those that lapped and those that looked and put the water up to their mouth. And I think what we need in this day and age are less lappers and more people that are going to put that water up to their mouth. And like Coach said, and like Randy and everybody else has been saying, local, local, local. Yeah, the church, yeah. But folks, it's still about you. It's not about the government. It's not about the Illuminati. You have to do what you can do where you can do it. For me and for most of you, that's not at the federal level. That's not even at the state level. That's at the local level. And another thing, please, please, please stop diagnosing things. If Christians were doctors, no diagnosis would ever fail. But all the patients would eventually die because nobody wants to operate. You're part of the Gideon 300, folks. And I appreciate you working. And if you don't have something you get involved with, give me a call. I'll fix you up. I'll find a job for you. This past Sunday, I'm the national director of the Natural Family Foundation. And after church this Sunday, or actually during prayer at church, something came to me about the assassination attempt. And I want you to think about this. With regards to your progressive friends, whether they be in your family or in your community, in your city, the bar for you communicating with them has been definitely lowered. Because we're supposed to be the ones that want to kill everybody and want to discriminate against everybody. But guess what? Our side had a win on Saturday, and that bar has been lowered. And what I was thinking about, and on our Sunday call with the Natural Family Foundation, what we talked about is how, because of what happened on Saturday, we're going to bring somebody, be it in the family, in our neighborhood, in our city, we're going to bring somebody closer to the truth. Closer to God, closer to Jesus. Think about that. You now have an opportunity you did not have before. I think some of those folks that are in the queue today were on the call. Who's up here trying to? Anybody want to? That was on the call, please come on in. I can't see everybody that's in here. Maybe not. But anyway, we talked about how you can definitely get involved in the community and how you need to get involved in the community. Look at this as an opportunity. And please, please, please stop talking about the attempted assassination. That's diversionary. That's taken some air out of the balloon that needs to be in the balloon. And Spencer, if anybody wants to pipe in, let me know. I can't see. I don't know how to tell that. Is there anybody there at the point? No? Okay.
Yeah, keep going, JR. You're doing good.
All right. Thanks. But again, please, please. This is about doing. I look for doers, coach looks for doers, and there aren't enough, there are not enough workers out there, folks. I did not watch the Republican speakers last night. I think J.D. Vance was there. J.D. Vance and I have a very, very interesting background. And again, keep in mind, I'm the director of the Natural Family Foundation. And J.D. came from a broken home. And I think he probably went into detail in that last night. And that's really, really, for those of you that didn't come from a broken home, didn't have a mother or a father there, or maybe a mother or a father there, I think in his case, his grandmother brought him up. That's very difficult. But you do appreciate one thing, and I'm sure JD would admit to this, that the value of a mother and a father are very underrated in today's world. And I'm talking about a mother, a biological born female, and a father, a biological born male. That is critical. And what we need to do in this society is gear ourselves towards a best practice. And that best practice is for a family. And the family is the key. The family to me is the foundation of society. That's the first institution that God created for the benefit of the man, was the family. And it wasn't by accident. It wasn't by a flip of a coin. Not the church, not the government, but the family. And the best practice for the family is what God started with. One biologically born man, one biologically born woman. Eve might have been an exception there. But since then, it's been one biologically born man, one biologically born woman, and a lifelong, committed, monogamous relationship with their children. Children, plural, adopted or biological. That is so key to what we're doing in society today, and it is so missing. Keep this in mind, there's a 52% divorce rate. Over half of the marriages end up in divorce. And what we don't really think about is how that affects the children in those divorces. How you've taken one of those entities out, the mother and or the father, and that creates a vacuum. And you try to, and I know personally, because I had that situation, only my father didn't leave. My father was there, but he didn't want anything to do with me. He belittled me. He made fun of me. And in JD's case, his father wasn't there. His mother wasn't there. His grandmother had to take, there's gaps there that you have to fill. And good for him. But most folks don't go the way that J.D. Vance did. If you go to the prison system and you talk to the prisoners, ask them about their family life. You know what you're going to find, right? Generally, the father's not in the home. The father is not in the home. And those, especially the boys, but even the girls, spend the rest of their life trying to fill that gap, that vacuum. You can do it with drugs. You can do it with sex. You can do it with gangs, business, sports. But none of it ever works. And there was that gentleman in Las Vegas that went up on the 12th floor or the 13th floor and started shooting people. His father was in prison when he was born. I think he was good in athletics. He was good in business. Then he turned to gambling. But guess what? He didn't turn to God. And it was hopeless for him. In my mind, okay, this is what I think is a motive for his doing what he did. In my mind, he did that because he knew he wanted to die. And he got somebody else to do that for him. But he was going to take as many people as long, make as many people as miserable as he could before he went out. The family, folks, is so key. And yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about because that's what's on my heart. And again, the gap that you get when you don't have that father there is just absolutely incredible. Jack, go ahead, please.
Yeah, if you go back to the 40s and 50s and even into the 60s, the marriage benefit was incentivized. There was always an incentive for the family. There was family pricing, and taxes were better if you were a family.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's completely reversed. It's a marriage penalty. And to be a broken marriage is incentivized. We got to flip things back around, and you got to look at why they're doing this. Why are those things happening? We need to figure out how to, in our local area, to incentivize the family rather than incentivize the single parent. We can have empathy for, and we can help them, but the actual family unit needs to be incentivized again. We need to think of unique ways to do that. One way I'd like to see is that natural family, when they're making a purchase over $1,000 or something, that they get no sales tax. Just a little thing would make a huge difference. When a family buys a car for their family, they have children, they need something, reliable transportation, they should be tax exempt when they buy that car. It would help the car dealer. They would sell more cars. It would help the family. They would get a break. We got to incentivize the family rather than incentivize evil.
Amen. And yeah, and think in those positive terms. I like that, because that's promoting something as versus, look, as Christians, I'm sorry, we're known as complainers. We don't like anything. Like Mikey in that commercial, we just don't like anything. But what Jack is talking about, and what we really need to do, is start lighting a candle instead of cursing the darkness. That's tough to do, because it's easy. I know it's easy to complain. The way I was brought up, behind every rainbow there was a cloud, and I could find those clouds. But somewhere in my life, I turned that around. And I started, and by the way, Coach was a big help in this. His winning proposition is so, so important. You can't get into a game and think that you're going to lose, because, well, you will lose. You get into the ring with somebody and you think you're going to lose that fight. You're going to lose that fight. And I love his positive attitude. And I think that's one of the things that really attracts me to Coach, is that positive attitude and how he sees that in almost everything. That's not Pollyannish, but it is positive. And we are winning. And if you'd have been in Wisconsin with us at that Natural Family Festival, you would have been so encouraged. Three blocks down the street, there was a gay pride celebration, and it was much different than what we were experiencing at this festival. Or if you've been in a situation where the family has been promoted, we do it in Christmas. We do it in Thanksgiving. It's great, isn't it? Why not do it all the way around? All the way around. Roger, go ahead, please.
AR, how do we promote to the non-Christian family the importance of family?
That's a great question. By the way, Natural Family is not confined necessarily to Christianity. I think that 52 divorce rate includes Christians.
Because I think the data speaks to the pagan as well as it would speak to the Christian of what happens or what has happened. And Jack mentioned a host of things. When the foundation of the family is falling apart, Every societal ill, I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, can be tied back in some direct way or indirect way to the family unit having been basically blown up.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you, but look, Joe Sixpack or the NASCAR crowd, they still, when we're born, there are spiritual laws in this world, natural spiritual laws and natural physical laws in this world. You can walk off the end of a cliff and you can identify as not falling, but you're going to fall. A child needs a mother and a father. That is a spiritual law. And we have an attraction to the opposite sex. That's a spiritual law as well. Okay. Things can get messed up, if you will. But the NASCAR crowd knows that they don't want their son or daughter, their son being a class queen or vice versa for the female. They know that, inherently know that. The Bible confirms it, but they know it. And they know that when one of those parents is gone, that there's something missing. And they try to fill that something missing desperately, desperately. But this is not consigned to Christians. This is a natural, look, we're born with a software package. We have needs for certain things. Everyone gets that software package. Be they Christian, or they come to Christ, or whether they don't, they still have that software package. They still benefit from it when they do the things in natural law that are right, and they have, well, negative effects when they don't do the things that are right. Does that help answer your question, Roger?
Yes. But look at the struggle that the family is going through when the family breaks up. You know, I worked for years in juvenile court and don't do a whole lot of work in there anymore. But, you know, 9 out of 10 kids that were coming in there, there was disruption at home.
Sure.
There was disruption at home. Used to do a little domestic work. Don't do that much anymore. The men and women just couldn't seem to keep their eyes away from somebody else, you know. The family breakup. And then our society would say how resilient our children are, that they can get through all of this. No, they can't. And I don't mean to offend anybody in the queue that's been through a divorce or going through a divorce. It is hard on kids. I like what Jack said, to incentivize staying together.
Yep.
To incentivize that there's a benefit to remain married and work things out. My goodness, what a great thing if there would be emphasis there. You know, I think it's important to go to whether it be a school board meeting but I'll tell you, some energy put into saving the marriage, saving man and woman as a family unit, sounds to me like that would tie into some success of calming, you know, all the crime that's going on. Just keep mom and dad together and dad around.
As goes the family, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. If you have a church where the father, and this is part of the natural family. In Ephesians, there's a listing of the order, the vertical order, which is God, Jesus Christ, man, woman, children. That is a vertical order. And when you flip that, where everybody's on the same level, by the way, in today's America, the state's the daddy. And the daddy instructs through government-run schools, public indoctrination centers, if you will. And they're effective. They're effective. There's probably nobody on this queue that hasn't been touched by government-run schools. I think that's impossible for that to have happened. Thanks, Roger. I think, Joe Allen, go ahead, please.
As a family structure, I think, and I see a lot, the respect of oneself is diminished.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My parents were born in 1920s and the 30s. My mother never left the house unless she was wearing a button dress. Yep. T-shirt was only worn under men's button shirt. Now you have women wearing leotards in public or wearing fuzzy slippers and pajamas. Going out there's no respect to oneself is greatly lost. And just like Chad and I, both in law enforcement and military, you see the structure of the family dropping drastically. Look at Donald Trump's children. Anytime they go out in public, what are they wearing? Either a suit or a dress. I'm not saying it's disrespect of oneself is lost.
Amen.
Enough said.
Amen. Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate that. Moderator, producer, go ahead, brother.
All right. All right. So, JR, the thing, too, we're talking about the incentivize. That's what Mr. Weaver was bringing up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the folks that when they get the perhaps the military, Joe spoke about military, but these military spouses, they get divorced and then they get assigned all of these benefits. Okay. And even I believe it's even Social Security thing. So if they remarry, they lose all those benefits. This keeps them from doing it. And so in a sense, we're selling our souls. We're selling our salvation for the benefits, for this benefits package that the government will be supplying us, telling us if you remarry and get back right again, you'll lose that. How about that?
No, I want to talk about the 40s, World War II, and what happened then, because that was, you can go back even further than that. But this is one of the things that really helped exasperate the family. You had the men going off to war. Thanks, Chad. That you had men going off to war, and women started, Rosie the Riveter, women started working. And then when they come back from the service, it was keep up with the Joneses. So instead of having the woman back into the family, I hear you. Having the woman back in the family, taking care of the children and the man out working, providing for the home, you had both working to pay for the home. And what are you going to do about educating the child, right? You turn them over to a government-run indoctrination center, and they are effective. They teach four things, basically, that life has no meaning. Morals are relative. Man, not God, is the measure of all things. And the state is your daddy, with the last one being really emphasized. When those children get out of those government-run schools, they've been totally indoctrinated. And the respect they have for the elders is the government. It isn't for the parents. It's for the government. I'm sorry. I'm speaking the truth here. That is really, really dangerous. Really dangerous. And they also teach kids that it's all about you. And that's why you see so many of those children now that aren't getting married, aren't having children. I mean, what are children going to do for me? That's what they're saying now. What are children going to do for me? Otherwise, I'm not going to have them. And I graduated from college. I got a job. I was being very successful in that job. You know, I thought, Yeah, JR, boy, you've got it. You're there. You're at the mountaintop. And then God gave me a child. Whoa. Did things ever change? And by the way, you really don't know what love is until you have children. Until you're fretting over it. Until you're having a joy with them. Wow.
Absolutely. Amen.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And just having one child, wow, that child is going to want a brother and a sister. That child is going to need a brother and a sister, brother and sisters. When I hear Coach talking about his family, I get very envious, because that is the way we were meant to be, folks. Not only having a lot, but having them around you. Today we have families scattered all over the United States. Relatives in California, in Ohio, in New York, in the South, in the North, maybe in another country. As goes the family, and that family needs to be united. You need things from the family. We don't need Social Security. We need the family, and we need the church to help out, not the government. That's so dangerous. Rochelle, go ahead, please.
Thanks, JR. Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to drop this little short in the chat. It is a dad disciplining his daughter. I don't know if you want to play it. It's about 20 seconds. But something that is, I just love how creative dads can be, because as a
mom,
I always, I always tried to find like if my kids did something wrong, what's the natural consequence of that action, right?
Natural, yeah.
So it wasn't constantly just disciplining. It was like, okay, if you can't get your clothes in the hamper, then I can't wash them and you have to go to school in dirty clothes. But this dad did something really good. I don't know if you have 20 seconds to play it, JR, but it's good.
Can you get that? I don't know whether they can get it or not, Michelle. Yeah, there it is. That it?
This lovely lady is my 10-year-old daughter, who has, for the second time this school year, been kicked off the school bus due to bullying another student. Let me make this extremely clear. Bullying is unacceptable, especially in my household. Friday, when my daughter brought home her paperwork for her bus suspension, she said, "Daddy, you're going to have to take me to school next week." As you see this morning, she is learning otherwise. A lot of children today feel that the things their parents do for them is a right and not a privilege. So today, my beautiful daughter is going to walk 5 miles to school in 36-degree weather. I know a lot of you parents are not going to agree with this, but that is all right, because I'm doing what I feel is right to teach my daughter a lesson and to stop her from bullying.
This is one of the many reasons why we need fathers.
Rochelle, that is child abuse. That is child abuse.
Most people would consider it child abuse, but I can promise you this, that young lady is not going to get kicked off the bus again.
Hallelujah. I call that good parenting.
Amen.
Bushman, come on. That's a tough act to follow, brother.
That is, Brother JR. Hey, Rochelle, thank you so much. I hope I can get a copy of that. I know some men that need to own up to their manhood and start disciplining their kids like that. That was awesome. Thank you for that. And I have to say this, JR, you're dead on. Family is pivotal, whether you want a good society or a bad society. I come from a broken one, very broken, drugs, alcohol, fighting. We ruled the roost. The kids ruled the roost. That protocol that you talked about in Ephesians, your brother, is dead on. We did not have that in my house. And because of that, there are two brothers who are dead from opiates that I miss and love every birthday that they had, every Christmas, every holiday. And I want to tell you what you're doing, Jim Harrison, is wonderful. I've got your full support. I've still got t-shirts and yard signs. If you're in the Dayton area and you would like Natural Family Strong merch to wear and to put in your yard, contact me through JR. He'll get you my information, or just go Buskman at thebuskmanreport.com and email me and say, hey,
how to help you with the dog here.
So let me know. I just want to say thanks, Jim, for everything that you're doing, and keep up the good work. Coach, thanks for having the huddle where we can all gather. I'm a doer. I'm out here. I got my hands dirty. I just talked to a brother yesterday. We're meeting on Wednesdays, just he and I. I get to disciple this man. He's a churchgoer, but he says, Martin, I'm loving what you're teaching me in the Word. I haven't been taught this in my church, which humbles me and makes me want to cry sometimes, because I'm like, this is so basic for men and women to know. I can't believe they're not, you know, like that they don't know what I know. So keep praying for me. JR, I love you. Dave, I love you. And Coach, keep up the good work. Get out there, honk and wave, whatever you can do to get America to know that God is the King, that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we repent by doing this stuff, God will make this country great again. Thanks, JR.
Thanks, Martin. Jack and then Dale.
Yeah. This, what you're talking about here are fundamentals. And we've gotten so, so far from the fundamentals that when you talk about natural family and what that dad did, you're going to get so much pushback because they don't have any comprehension of what the natural family actually did and accomplished, and why society functioned because the natural family functioned. You go all the way back, and like I was saying, they are that the government is daddy now. And that is a huge, huge problem. When the government interferes, when the government does things that impact the family, it was never, ever supposed to do that. That's why there's a 10th Amendment. That's why the Constitution is a limit on government. It was never intended to be daddy to our families. You go back to you mentioned World War II, when those guys came back, and Rosie the Riveter was working, and what was going on? There were wage and price controls, right? We've all heard that term before. Nixon used wage and price controls. But back in World War II, there were wage and price controls. So when the guys came home from the war, they couldn't give them an increase in pay. So what did they give them? Benefits. Now we're talking about benefits. Mm. So the government allowed benefits to be given to the employees as incentives. And what happened? That's where this universal insurance came from. Now you have insurance companies and insurance concepts running everything because it was a tax write-off for the company to give you a benefit, and the insurance company reaped the benefit of having a tax incentive to use their product.
Jack, that's a great point. I hadn't gone into the benefit aspect of it. By the way, that raises the cost of benefits when the government gets involved with it. And there's people that can't afford it. And there's a lot of homeschoolers that I've spoke with, Jack, that most of them don't have health insurance. They take care of each other, which is just absolutely phenomenal. No, I'm sorry, Jack, didn't mean to interrupt you. Well, I did, but I did.
No, it's okay. Those are all the same things. That didn't start last month because we elected the wrong person. That started right around World War I with the Fabian socialists at Tavistock infiltrating the seminaries and the universities so that they taught people to disavow the family. It started back then. And it didn't come to real fruition until the 40s when those people were now the instructors. And here we are today. And when you show a chart, I sent you that chart that they gave us at the Senior Citizens Civics Academy. Every one of the persons in that class looked at that chart that showed the disparity the poverty level differences between married with children, single, and single with children. And every one of those people looked at the worst case scenario and how to help them instead of looking at the ones that were doing better and how to incentivize them.
And today's
exactly the opposite of what we should be doing.
Today's world, we reward diversity. And like you're talking about, it'd be nice if we rewarded strong families. I like that. I like that. Dale, go ahead. But before you do, and when you think about the family, there's three aspects, a three-legged stool. You think about the content of the family, which is one biologically born man and woman, plus their children, biological or adopted. Okay, that's the content. The structure is what I explained earlier, God, Jesus Christ, man, woman, children. By the way, the family is where children learn what? They learn authority. That's right. Today's authority is the government, not mom and pop, but the government. And then this is key, the family's place in society. You know, Thanksgiving, you might have that table and then you got the little card table at the bottom, right? Yeah, that's where the family is in society. Go ahead, Dale. Oops.
Well, hallelujah. You know, going back to some of the stuff that Jack was talking about, which is, you know, it's sad that we have abandoned that. because if you have children, and you do, you would get a small little tax credit or whatever. But if you're divorced, you get this huge sum and lump of money. And I don't know how that is going to change. But, you know, personally, you know, there's it's an amazing thing because you get a tick. You get envious. Like you said, you were envious. And I get it in a good sense. You know, I get people that are envious because I do homeschool. I get people, you know, when I say that I married my wife and that she was a virgin when I married. People look like me. Well, your wife must have been ugly, blah, 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 blah. We have rejected these natural things, JR. Yeah. And if we don't, then we want to look at somebody like that. We want to pull them down to our level to make us feel good about ourselves. You know, God forbid homeschool. God forbid take your children to the streets. God forbid that. I know my oldest son, when he would go to a youth group and we stopped all that nonsense, the only reason why people wanted him on their Bible teams during these youth programs is because he knows his Bible, right? But outside of that, they didn't want to be his friend. They rejected him. You know, we've rejected, the church itself has rejected these things. One of the reasons why the Republican platform has rejected and thrown the babies under the bus, JR, is that nasty little secret nobody wants to talk about, is that abortion and divorce are as high in the church as it is in the world. Mm-hmm. And if we're not aborting the babies in the church, then God forbid you have two or three children, right? You're shunned, you're looked down upon, and then you're going to homeschool them and all of these things. You know what? I don't have to please man or appease man. I know that I'm solid in my faith with the Lord. And what an honor it is that not only every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning that I see my children active and in the church and doing ministry. I mean, on a Wednesday night prayer, I don't have to tell my children who are married and out of the house to come to church. They're there. Most of the time, they're beating me there. I didn't have to say that I did everything right, but obviously I did a lot of good things right. And when I did ministry, and still to this day when I do ministry, I always bring what children I have at home, at least one of them, if not both of them, with me while I'm doing ministry, because family is ministry. And, you know, I would not change that for the world. And then the last point I want to make, as I'm watching, you know, I've been watching this Republican National Convention, and I'll stomach and watch the Democratic National Convention just to, you know, to see a barometer, what's going on in the world. And I noticed this, and maybe I'm wrong, but I noticed Trump is not surrounding himself with evangelicals. Mm-hmm. Why is that? I believe he had the wrong cabinet members around him last time. He picked DC insiders and they threw him under the bus. And he picked big name ministers who do absolutely nothing but profit off of Donald Trump's name. And I just see that he's not surrounding himself with the evangelicals on this term, you know, and God forbid that I pray that he will get some people that are no names, people who have a zeal and a heart and a passion for the Lord, because he's going to need those prophets around him. And I see shaky days ahead, but I'm honored to have sacrificed career. I'm honored to not worry about what the tax system is, to have as many children as the Lord gave us, and to homeschool our children, and now watching my children begin to homeschool their children. And I'm not ashamed. And if people think that that's piety, it's not piety. It's biblical. And if the problem, it's not with me, it's with God. And we got to stop looking at that. And here's the last thing. And I look at this, some people in here
got 1 minute, Dale.
Oh, I'm sorry. That people take a hold of some young people out there and begin to mentor them, begin to speak into their lives. You still have this opportunity, whether your children are at their home or grandchildren. Go out there and grab some of these young people. They need mentoring.
I got, we're going to have to go, but I got some other folks that wanted to get in, but I want to plug real quick. If you're looking for something to do, Saturday mornings, lastcallradio.live, that's your workstation, folks. It's do radio. We bring up a lot of information there, but a lot of folks that you've heard here have been on the show, and others that you haven't heard of are out there doing. I want to thank Coach for the opportunity to talk about the family today. Wish him safe travels, he and Brett. And folks, you have no idea. You have no idea how lucky you are to be able to tune into the station. Not because it's JR today, okay, but with Coach and the folks that surround him, they're attracted to him. Hey, thanks. Have a great week. Saturday morning, lastcallradio.live. Thank you much.